Hello and welcome to Love Nestle Sexopedia. I'm your host, Sarah, and today we're exploring the complexity of sexual relationship. Joining us is Lisa Welsh, an accredited sex educator and certified sex coach. We will discuss men's sexual needs, libido differences, the importance of communication, and strategies for reigniting passion in long-term relationships. Lisa will also touch on body confidence, self-acceptance, and embracing one's sexuality. Well, Lisa, thank you for being here. Could you share a bit about yourself and what inspired your journey into sex education?
Absolutely. So I am Lisa Welsh. I'm an accredited sex educator and a certified sex coach, and I help men to have the kind of sex life that they crave and deserve.
So my question is, what kind of sex life exactly does men crave?
So there are often differences between the needs of men and women when it comes to sex. They sometimes have different triggers for sexual satisfaction, and there can be some shame around that. So for example, men tend to respond more to visual and physical cues. This is a generalization, and women often like to prefer an emotional connection, or they need that kind of emotional closeness as well, maybe a sense of safety. And men are often more comfortable with kind of spontaneous sexual encounters. That's the same with their desire as well. Men typically get kind of horny and aroused far more quickly than women. And women tend to need to build up slowly over time. So the real magic happens when we can communicate. And everybody's needs are valid. And it's great that we can kind of talk more about it.
Yeah, and a lot of times we found couples with mismatched libido, and that posed a lot of issues and hurdles in their relationships. So how do you think about it? Like, what kind of those things lead to the mismatched libido?
Yeah, desire discrepancy is very common, and often this is something that can be dealt with through education and communication. So understanding that people have different needs, different turn-ons, and different ways that they prefer to be invited to intimacy. So it tends to be, we generally think that men have a higher libido than women. So we think that men are always up for sex, which isn't actually always true, but that they are kind of more willing, they want to have sex more. And it's often the woman that is portrayed as the one with the lower libido. So firstly, I just want to demystify that and say that sometimes it could just be that she is not in the right environment for wanting sex. There could be other things going on in her life, like she could be really busy and it just feels like another thing on her to-do list. So creating the space for kind of desire and arousal to occur, making sure that you're sharing responsibilities in the relationship fairly, and having a conversation. Like, how would she like to be invited to sex? How are you initiating sex, right? So talking about how often would you like to have sex? How would you like to be invited? What kind of sex? Like, making sure that it's kind of good sex that she's actually craving, and not just some kind of mediocre situation that's making her feel like, oh, you know, not turning her on, not getting her excited. And, you know, people can find that sex becomes mundane as well, right? It becomes mundane or even stressful, meaning that they haven't, you know, spoken about their desires, spoken about their fantasies, spoken about what they really want. And when you can get deep into that kind of nitty gritty of what you really want, that is when you can find the gold. And that's when both parties start to feel kind of more turned on and more craving of sex. So yeah, desire discrepancy is a real thing, but there's lots of ways to work around it.
Yeah, and a lot of times they face many complicated issues in life, like kids, family, and work. So I guess that's why, like, people are like experiencing this kind of discrepancy. Well, you were talking about the communication, and I'm just curious, what are the starting points of those communication, or, you know, how should we get started first when we are actually talking about those things? It is really likely that we may feel ashamed or, you know, somehow like awkward.
Yeah, definitely. We can say that talking about sex is more awkward than actually having sex, because it feels so awkward. And people are embarrassed to be honest about their desires, about what they want. They're embarrassed to say to their partner, you know, I would love to have more sex, or I'd love to have different sex, because they feel worried, you know, it's a worry that if you express your needs to your partner, that your partner is going to feel insecure, or like they're not good enough for you, or that there's something wrong with the relationship. So it's really important to frame the conversations in a way that shows that the connection is good and the connection is there, and that you're not, you know, totally unhappy with everything. You would just like to enhance things together. So framing it as a journey that you can work through together. Speaking in a time when it is convenient and everybody is relaxed, not having the conversation in bed, and always framing it in a positive way. So this is like the story, they call it a positive sandwich. So you're going to say something good that you already enjoy about your sex life. Then you're going to add something that you would like to enhance and follow it up with a compliment as well. Like, be really grateful that you're able to be together, having these conversations, making sure that the partner feels reassured and that this is something you would like to enjoy and enhance together. So finding a time when it's not stressful, you know, it's that you're not going to be interrupted, and thinking about ways that you can bring it up that isn't going to hurt your partner. So always keeping kind of that connection at the forefront. So it is possible. It is possible to talk about sex without it being too awkward.
Yes, it really depends on if you're like, how do you feel about this? And it's definitely not a, you know, like, as long as like it's based on mutual agreement and trust, it's definitely not something taboo or that sensitive. So your website and your whole program is called like Save That Spark, right? So I'm quite curious, because when it comes to a long-term relationship and stable ones, for example, 20 years of marriage into it, so it is very likely that people, you know, the whole relationship, the bond evolves into something different. For example, it becomes the love between family instead of become the romantic feelings between your spouses. So how do we actually save that spark? What are the tricks?
That is such a good question. And you're right, because when you've been together for a long time, you know, there's a saying that you end up having a marriage with multiple people, and whether that is the same person who is going through all of these different changes over the years, you know, it could be that you end up being married to all of these different versions of them, and you yourself are changing as well. So there's different versions of both of you, right? And so you save that spark by nurturing your own sexuality in yourself first and foremost. I think it's really important that individually, we stay sexual. We are our own lovers first and foremost. We are our own best lovers. So saving some space to nurture that sexuality in terms of your desires, your fantasies, and self-pleasuring as well, I think that's really important, because then we can bring that to the partnership. We're keeping our own sexual spark alive, right? And then learning to communicate about that, communicating about how we are evolving and how we want to grow together. Because often the best long-term sexual relationships become richer over time as the trust develops, as we allow ourselves to explore these things that maybe do feel taboo, things that maybe are not mainstream. It's not about being as out there as possible, because vanilla sex can be so great as well. But it's about like learning enough about yourself and not assuming you know everything about your partner. Because often when we're together for a long time, you can assume you know what they like, assume you know what they want, assume you know what they're going to do next. And we get on this kind of escalator of sex where we tend to always initiate the same way, right? We always know they're going to initiate, it's Friday night, that's when they like to have sex. Then they're going to do a little bit of kissing, maybe a little bit of touching, maybe moving straight into penetration. And it's the same moves over and over again. And we just do it because it works, but it gets boring, right? It gets boring over time. And so that's why the spark goes. We take away that friction, that unknowing. We feel like we know everything, but we don't, because we are humans that evolve and change and grow, and our desires and our minds just evolve. So by staying in touch with our own sexuality and staying in awe of that spark in our partner, that is how you keep things hot, having an open mind and always learning about each other.
Right. And I love the way that you're talking about, because we cannot actually assume that the person you married 20 years ago is still the same person, because both of you will experience changes and ups and downs in this relationship. So no one knows. And especially when it comes to like intimacy, sometimes guys, they tend to hide things, hide their feelings. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just quite curious, Because we all think sex is a very essential part of a relationship. But why is it? I mean, generally speaking, I know because, for example, it spice up the whole relationship. It help you stay, romantically attracted to one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to know how the mechanism of sex that actually help us to deepen this bond.
That's a really great question. So firstly, I just want to say that sex isn't important to everybody. So there are some people who are very happy to be in a relationship without sex, right? And there are some people for whom sex is kind of important, and there are some people for whom sex is very, very important. But yes, for those people who really enjoy sex and being sexually intimate, it can boost their connection together because for a number of reasons, one of which being that it enhances the release of endorphins. So that means that we get this kind of bonded feeling that actually brings us closer together and makes us kind of feel like all lovey-dovey. They call it post-nut clarity. When after the guy has ejaculated, he has all those love feelings. And not only that, but typically in relationships, we have one person who is needing to be physically intimate in order to feel emotionally close. So physical sex actually helps them to feel able to express themselves emotionally. And again, I'm generalizing, but it's typically men that need that. Women often need the emotional side first. So they will need to feel close and need to feel like connected and like in a great place with their partner before they can have good sex that they enjoy. And then on the flip side, the men need the sex so they can get emotionally close. So having both parts is like a double helix DNA strand. So you have the emotional intimacy and the physical intimacy, and together they build this robust relationship that is close and exciting and just has all of those feel good, warm and fuzzy vibes.
Yeah, and you sometimes really need those things to keep the sparks going, and you need those things to make sure that you're still physically attracted to one another. Well, I know a lot of people, they've been talking about orgasms. Mm. And helping one another reach the orgasms. But I really want to hear your perspective on this.
So how to help people reach orgasm. So yes. Orgasm, it's such a funny concept because it's like a couple of seconds at the end of hopefully a nice, long, pleasurable experience. And the pleasure itself is such a good thing that we need to be following. It's not all about the orgasm. So I just want to say that first and foremost. However, if you want to have an orgasm, you should be able to. And so it's really important that we educate ourselves on, firstly, the human body and anatomy and how arousal and desire work. Because without that basic education, which we don't get at school, it's very easy to miss the point, or should I say miss the clitoris? Because in long-term relationships, especially heterosexual relationships where there is a man and a woman, it is very likely that she is not having orgasms every time or even the majority of the time. We find that many women do not experience orgasm during penetration, and penetration is what is prioritized in sex most of the time with heterosexual couples. So by learning that she actually needs clitoral stimulation and learning the techniques that she specifically likes, then she's more likely to have orgasms, and then she's more likely to want more sex, which means he's more likely to get more sex and he's more likely to get more orgasms. Yay. So what I'm saying is the clitoris is the most important thing in my mind when it comes to having great sex in a couple situation. It's really important that you're giving her the great amount of pleasure, which is as simple as putting on some lube, making sure you massage the clitoris in a way that feels good for her so that she's getting the orgasm, which means she's going to crave even more of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when it comes to sex, people think orgasm seems to be the ultimate goal. But do you think it is the case? I mean, why, we spent so much effort, we put so many time into this sexual intercourse activity. For example, people are buying toys, they're buying BDSM stuff, we're learning things, we're acquiring knowledge, how should we do this? Okay, we should, we should learn some foreplay tricks, whatsoever like that. So what's the purpose of all these things? Why we try so hard to make sure we stay sexually you know, interested. And is it simply because of orgasm?
Good question. So yeah, I think orgasm is not the be all and end all. I really think that the pleasure is the thing and the anticipation, because it gives us that kind of juicy turned on look about how we show up in life, that anticipation and the psychological aspect of being turned on and being excited and craving that person's presence and enjoying the give and the take, not only receiving, but also giving pleasure. Like, all of that is incredibly important. So when it comes to sex toys and sex dolls, it can also be exciting, like thinking about using that toy. Right. So even if you're not with a partner, the thinking about choosing a toy and finding a way to create a beautiful space around you when you're going to use that toy or use that tool or use that technique. So it's not only about chasing the orgasm. That is like the cherry on the top. But even without the orgasm, the entire scenario can be so great, so beneficial to us and make us feel alive.
Yeah. And why do you think we crave sex so much? Like, I wouldn't say everybody wants it, but after, you know, both men and women, we entered adulthood, we tried first time, but gradually it becomes something like habitual, or it becomes something that we want, let's say, like not really routinely, but something we want in daily life. So why is that?
Why do we want sex? I mean, there are so many reasons why people want to have sex, right? There are so, so many reasons. And like one tiny one is to have children. And there are just a myriad of other ones, whether it's to help you to sleep, to help you to feel bonded to your partner, to help you experience pleasure, to help you X, Y, and Z. There are so, so, so many different reasons. And you know, that I love that, because that also means that any reason for wanting to have sex is valid, right? It's okay to want to have sex as much as you want to have sex. It's okay if you don't feel like having sex. Like, it's a natural drive that we have, and it's understandable, because I think in today's day and age, especially when we're quite disconnected and there's a lot of online stuff like this, like what we're doing, for example, or we're busy and we're stressed and there's so much going on in our minds, that it can actually be like really a reminder that we're alive when it comes to having sex. It's a way to connect to our bodies, because often we are stuck in our head. We're disconnected. We're thinking. We put so much into our minds and how we're thinking. But this is putting your body back in charge again. It is getting connected to your body, connecting to another human, connecting to a tool that, it, you know, it doesn't matter if there's not another human in the room with you, but it's just that reminding us that we're human. That's how I see it. That's why I think it's so important. That's one of the reasons for me that I think, you know, it gets us away from our devices. It gets us back into this space, reminding us that we are important and that we are worthy of pleasure and that, you know, that we're alive and we're human. I mean, I keep saying it, but I feel like that is the key takeaway for me today.
Well, I think that's a really an accurate answer, because sex drive is something is there for us, for most people, and it's a natural desire. So the knowledge that we acquire after adulthood, like how we should have sex with other people, about consent, about like in a intimate relationship, it's more about how we can manage this desire, like in a way that's mutually beneficial for our mental health and physical wellness. I think it's more like this. So let's circle back to relationships a bit. Well, a lot of times in intimate relationships, we talked about libido discrepancy, right? Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. But the key to solve this issue is that both parties should be, you know, wanting to actually reignite their passion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just like, I just wanted to know, like, how should we get started with this part? Because not all of them want to reignite their passion. How should we motivate one another?
You're right. Not everybody does want to reignite their passion, which is why so many people find themselves in sexless marriages. That's a reality for a lot of people. And there are lots of ways that we can address that. But how to motivate yourself to want to be intimate again, I would say take the focus out of the bedroom in that situation and actually look at having fun together first, so that you can actually start to reconnect that intimacy, not physical intimacy, but you're rebuilding that emotional bond so that you actually are enjoying each other's company. You're able to talk about any issues that are coming up without putting all of the pressure on sex, because it's very difficult if a situation has become sexless and then nobody talks about it. And instead it's like this unspoken resentment that starts to happen. And then you're, you know, the women might think, oh, we're not having sex, it's maybe because of how I look. And he's thinking, she's not having sex with me, maybe she's rejecting me because of X, Y, and Z. And everybody has all of these unspoken worries, and it can just become more difficult over time to actually reconnect after that. So yeah, sexless marriage is a very common thing. And if you like, we can talk about what people could do if they find themselves in a sexless marriage.
Yeah, are there any ways actually to get out of it? I mean, other than getting a divorce.
Yeah. So it's difficult and it takes time. And we cannot, as you said, with consent, we cannot force anybody. We're not entitled to have sex with our partner, even though some people would argue that, you know, if you're married, you should, you know, you're entitled to have sex. I don't see it that way. So the way that I see it is that if, for example, there is a man in a relationship and his wife is no longer open to having sex at this time, then I would advise a couple of different things. Number one is keep that emotional bond strong by having fun, by doing things to make sure that you are emotionally connected and working on the relationship together. That's like number one. But number two is still know that your sex drive is valid and your sexual desires are still valid. And so this is a situation where I would still recommend maintaining your sexual spark with yourself. So I'm not suggesting that you go out and cheat, certainly not. But there are ways that you can express your sexual energy physically by taking on sports, for example, exercising and moving your body. That is one outlet, right? And then doing sports, you also get to meet people. But also investing in your self-pleasure. So taking time to look at your desires and how you can develop that richness, whether that is through visual stimulation, audio stimulation, using toys and tools and dolls, things like that. And perhaps for some people, not for everybody, but for some people, they do consider bringing in a third person, right? If the wife is literally no longer open for sex, then she might consider the option of having a sex surrogate, for example. Mm-hmm. Or she may be that she just doesn't want sex for this time and she's choosing to be celibate for a while. And so then I would recommend that the husband does look into, you know, developing his masturbation practices and finding ways that he can really bring that pleasure that he's craving into his life. So there's lots of different answers that kind of suit individuals. You would need to choose the path that feels right for them.
Yeah, we probably need to, you know, look at what we have and, you know, devise it according to what, you know, according to what's happened in our life. So, because a lot of times we're talking about the sex within marriage, within a relationship, because we need this connection or this bond. So we have this kind of patience and strength to solve these problems together. But a lot of times sex happen in a condition that people don't trust each other. And people do not have this emotional connection. Do you think emotional connection matters a lot for sex?
Not for everybody. For some people, yes. In a relationship, it's not the healthiest to be in a relationship where there's no trust and that you're having sex. But as long as both parties, what I would say, as long as both parties feel safe and are willing and nobody is being hurt, then I am an advocate for all sex, right? There doesn't have to be an emotional bond. I think you can have great casual sex without an emotional bond. As long as everybody is consenting and enjoying the situation, it doesn't have to include penetration. It doesn't have to include orgasm. To me, good sex is sex where two people are really having a good time and wanting to be doing it, two or more. But emotional connection isn't necessary, not all of the time.
Yeah, and so when we're talking about casual sex, it is very, let's not say it's very likely, it is likely sometimes that we are exposed to STIs or STDs, and we have and casual sex will increase the risk of getting one of those. Well, other things that I really concern about casual sex is about the whole sex trauma scenario. Are there any advice that you would
like absolutely.
To,
when it comes to casual sex, there definitely can be more risks involved. But it doesn't mean that there's 100% going to be STIs or trauma involved. A lot of people have great casual sex situations that they really enjoy. So there are things you can do to take good care of yourself. There are precautions to take. You can make sure that you're having safer sex. But as a bottom line, what I'm saying is that an emotional connection isn't necessary for everybody and in order to have a great time sexually.
Okay, these are the questions that's actually from me. So I'm curious, like, what is it like to be an accredited sex educator?
I love it. I love being an accredited sex educator because it gives me the privilege of being able to share accurate evidence-based sexual health knowledge that I know can benefit people. Because just by normalizing and validating what people are experiencing, you can reduce the shame and stigma and therefore allow them to have so much more pleasure. So I just enjoy the privilege of being able to share this knowledge and help people to have better sex.
Well, how do you usually help your clients?
So a few ways. I have a YouTube channel and I have a newsletter and a blog. Plus, I talk to people directly as well to help them with their particular concerns. But my YouTube channel is one great place where I just teach people how to peg, for example, or how to communicate about sex or how to sit on your husband's face.
That sounds like fascinating. Yes. And right. I'm always like quite curious, like, how do you think about the sex therapy works? So suppose like I'm married and I say, hey, Lisa, you know what? Me and my husband really need some help from you. So, and we're experiencing like something really difficult in the marriage. So what are the steps to help us?
That's a really good question. So for something like that, there are licensed, accredited, qualified sex therapists that you can go to. And that's not, I'm not a sex therapist, but as a certified sex coach, the approach is to look at the sexual goals that a couple has and speak about what are each person's individual goals and what are their goals for the relationship. And then we actually look inside that person because I am not there to provide answers, but actually to help the clients to find the answers within themselves. Right. So that sounds funny, but we all know actually. And sometimes we just need permission or the right knowledge to be able to verbalize what it is that we're feeling and what we're wanting. And so somebody in my position would help people to set actionable steps that they could take to achieve their sexual goals by keeping themselves safe along the way and making sure that they have the kind of experience that they want.
Yes, and I'm really interested in, are there any stories that you can feel comfortable to share with us, you know, when for sex coaching?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the kind of reasons why people would reach out to me are if they're experiencing erectile dysfunction, for example. So perhaps they are not able to maintain an erection for as long as they want to. And with something like that, which is very common, we actually start to look at what could be the potential causes. So I can refer them to medical professionals if we think there could be something physical. Perhaps it's something psychological or a relational thing that's happening. So we would then, for example, one of my clients spoke to me about erectile dysfunction, and it seemed to be stemming from how he was feeling about his body, right? And that's something that we don't typically connect with men. We think that women have body image issues and men don't. But this actually seemed to be that his body, the way he felt about his body, was making him feel insecure in the bedroom. And that was in turn impacting how long his erection was able to be maintained. And so then we would talk about how the erection is happening during self-pleasure compared with a partner and ways that we can help to enhance the body image, right? So that's just a very, very specific example. We can also help people who are not experiencing orgasm, for example, or who want their partners to initiate more. So there's lots of kind of common things that people require support with and lots of similar goals that people want to achieve. But how we achieve them and how those people reach their sexual goals is very different depending on their specific circumstances and needs.
Yeah. And I'm really curious about a question is because normally, out of some perspectives, we say everyone has a soul. Like, suppose I'm severely overweight and I have rotten teeth. It is very likely that women or like men does like they won't want to approach like a person like this. I'm not trying to body shame you. Let's just like say it objectively, right? And you said like a lot of times if we want to stay in our sexually active, we will have to definitely work on the body image. So do you think sex in some way is quite like primal and quite, and you know, somehow the brain does some tricks to us and we have to first focus on someone's appearance? Is it like this?
So I see what you're saying, and I do agree that it is great for us to take care of ourselves in order to save that spark within us, for us to feel sexy and desirable and confident in the bedroom. It is important that we look after ourselves so that we can feel good. However, I think that there are people that are attracted to every single kind of person. So I'm not here to say that you need to change how you look, right? But you do need to take care of yourself so that you can feel good and feel your best sexually. That doesn't mean you need to lose weight. It doesn't mean you need to change anything. Just nurture that spark within yourself in a way that will turn you on. That is how I see it. And for sure, we do have preferences. People have different types and different preferences and different things that they're attracted to. That is true. And so we just have to also be okay with that. Like, whatever my preference is, then that's what I'm going to be attracted to. It's not the same as somebody else, for example. So there is somebody out there for everybody.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think the spark is not simply, sexual desire. It's more about the strength within yourself.
Yes.
We have to first appreciate ourselves and then build certain kind of self-esteem and stuff like that.
Well, 100%.
Other questions I have is, so a lot of our audience, they're doll lovers. They are into dolls for multiple reasons. For example, mm-hmm. their wife passed away. They are experiencing a divorce whatsoever. And they feel it's really difficult for them to actually get back to the right path, to work on themselves or to actually talk to women. And a lot of times they have this low self-esteem. They think, oh, you know what? I talk to them and they'd be like, you know what, Sarah, I'm ugly, I'm whatever. I'd be like, no, based on my past experience with you, based on my past conversation with you, I feel you're nice and understanding and you should be able to land women eventually. So how do you think like we can, you know, from a professional perspective as a sex coach, how would you help like our doll lovers to actually get back to on the right track?
Thank you. That's a great question. So firstly, I would just say, again, we're going to start with the basic education. Like there's nothing wrong with using a sex doll, right? Because I think this is maybe where it stems from. For people who are using sex dolls, there's a little bit of a stigma that, you know, that means that you can't get a woman, for example, right? And so let's just break that apart, because sex dolls are used by so many different people. As you said, it could be that their partner has passed away or they could be in a sexless marriage, but it doesn't actually mean that they are dissatisfied with their relationship at all, because the dolls are another tool. They're another tool to enhance pleasure, to explore fantasies, to learn about your personal desires, whether you're alone or with a partner. So I really see them as an addition to a healthy sex life, first and foremost. So they're not only for men who are lonely or pervy, right? That is something that we are told. That is a myth. That is not true. The fact that you desire a doll in, you know, to have as part of your sexual play is perfectly fine. So I just want to say there's definitely healthy and empowering ways to explore using a doll, and especially when incorporated with self-care and, you know, openness, like allowing yourself to enjoy this and allowing yourself and owning your sexual desire. That's something I just want to say. It's okay to desire this, right? So if we can invite the listeners who are using dolls to really believe that, like, and know that in their hearts, that they are a good person, that is not impacted by anything that they're doing sexually, right? As long as everybody is consenting and happy, then everything is good. So from that foundation, then it's important for men to start working on their confidence, nurturing that inner spark within themselves, of which sexual energy is a really important one. So by allowing themselves to own their sexuality and their sexual practices without shame, then they can step up and be more present in the world without thinking they've got this hidden secret. That's kind of just how I want to frame this, right? There's nothing to be ashamed of. They're an awesome human, I'm sure of it. And there's so much that they can bring to the world that without having to hide that, this kind of shadow part, rather integrate that and just know that they are doing good. They are doing an incredible job in this difficult world that is very difficult to navigate, right? Especially for men. There are so many different expectations that are placed on men that it can be very difficult to know how to navigate and show up. So keep being you is what I want to say. And know that there is definitely hope in your future, that you're not ugly and unattractive. Just believe in yourself and know that you can step into the world with pride. And yeah, your sexual energy is an important part of who you are. Yeah. Did I answer that right, Sarah? I feel like I went off on a tangent, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I get it. And I think that's exactly what I wanted to say to them, because a lot of times I just wanted to know, you know, not everyone looks like Leonardo. And we all have our like features. For example, like, you know, I have dark hair, whatever. Probably it's not the best versions of, you know, the Eurocentric aesthetics. But I feel good. I feel good in my own skin.
Good.
And I know I'm definitely not Victoria's Secret model's body, whatever, but I'm okay with it. And yeah. I love it. Yes, I love those belly fat on my, you know, stomach. And I feel it's okay. I can eat it. I can enjoy food. I can enjoy the exercise. So something like this. I think it's more about you have to figure out a perspective to appreciate yourself.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
See all of the benefits. See the good things. Really believe what you bring to the world, because it's mm-hmm. you're uniquely you, right? And we don't, people aren't wanting a Victoria's Secret model, right? We want humans. We want real humans. As I've said a few times in this conversation, Sarah, right? We want to feel alive. We want to feel human. And we're not looking for perfection. None of us are perfect. We all have flaws. We all have things that we want to hide. And you know what? We still are human and we want to be connected to each other too. So believe in yourself. There's so much value that everybody listening to this podcast brings to the world.
Thank you. And I think a very essential part of your program is helping people to build this self-confidence and to build this energy. Because in the very beginning, I thought the spark is just romantic feelings. But now I get it. It's more about something within you. And I love this philosophy, because a lot of times I have girls coming over to me and saying, hey, you know what, this guy is a douchebag, he's been ghosting me, whatever. Well, the thing is, a lot of times people don't know what they want, that, and then they're just, you know, praying for the attention from the other person. Well, that's not how it works. But the premise of having a, you know, certain boundary is, first of all, you need to know, like, you deserve something and you set certain standards. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Speaking my story here.
All right. Lisa, so if our audience would like to find you somewhere on the internet, they want to get help from you, where could they like do this?
Brilliant. They can find me at savethatspark.com. That is a great way to find me. I've got some awesome resources there, confidence kit for men, as well as my YouTube channel, which is a great place to come and hear me speak about topics on sexual empowerment, especially for men.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for coming.
It was my absolute pleasure, Sarah. Thank you very much for having me. I've loved chatting with you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sexopedia. If you're interested in exploring more topics related to us, the adult industry, sex education, and relationship issues, please check out lovenesso.com. We have a wealth of information and resources that will satisfy your curiosity. Stay tuned for more captivating stories. Until next time.